The Gospel text for today is from the chapter 13 of St. Luke. Let us stand up to hear the word. There were present at the season some that told of Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifice. And Jesus answered, said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Dear friends, sisters and brothers in Lord Jesus Christ, the Gospel text for this Sunday brings to mind another portion of this text from the verse 18, a familiar part where Jesus speaks of two people praying, a Pharisee and a publican. We remember the prayer of the Pharisee. He thanked God because he was not like those others, crooks, thieves, or like that publican who prayed near him. This text today does not speak of Pharisees, but of Galileans and Jerusalem's people. But the question behind this, the question is the same. The question is, are others greater sinners? That Pharisee thought, fortunately, I am not like that other or like those others. Fortunately, I'm not such a great sinner as those others. The Pharisee thought in this way. I dare to say and be honest to ourselves, we can sometimes find ourselves in the place of the Pharisee. We might surprise ourselves to find. We might say that those are so and so and such. Fortunately, I am not. Others may have fallen into great sin. Fortunately, I haven't. Around this same text, we are in this gospel text today. A group of people came to Jesus to tell them of the news of the bloody act of Pilate. Jesus answered, Suppose ye that these Galileans who had died in this bloodbath, were they more bigger sinners than the other Galileans because they suffered such things? Nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Jesus saw into the hearts of people. He saw and he knew that in the mind of those people that came to him, those people that had been killed, were even more bigger sinners. And that's why their end was so terrible. They thought that those people who were killed, they had deserved their death for their great sins. Jesus clearly says, this is not so. In evaluating other people's sin, Jesus tells them to look at their own hearts in the same way. You will all perish if you do not repent. The Gospel Luke does not say who these people were who came to tell Jesus of the news. They may have been people from Jerusalem who did not appreciate, value Galileans who were of the same country and of the same faith. Galileans lived far away from the temple of Jerusalem, near the area of the Greek culture. And maybe for that reason, they thought that they were even more sinners than the just, self-righteous Jews of Jerusalem. That in Jerusalem, they could go to the temple every day, and they could follow the rules, follow the rules of cleanliness of Moses, than the people who lived far away. They had, the Jerusalem people had to meet the Galileans that we remember that our Savior, that he and other people came to celebrate and to bring sacrifice according to the law of Moses, to sacrifice in the temple or to listen to the teaching of the temple, to hear the temple message. That was the high teaching. It was not insignificant that Jesus, there before his death, he taught there in the temple. Very few of the Galileans brought an animal to be sacrificed. It had to be innocent sacrifice. If you brought your own animal, it may have become corrupt on the way and not be acceptable. Therefore, in the yard, there were people selling animals for the sacrifice. Jesus chases them away from the temple area. These animals had been sold for those who were walking to the temple. It was the job of the priest, usually, but during festive times, laymen and other people could do the sacrifice. Once Pontius Pilate had killed Galileans so that their blood had mingled with the sacrifice blood. In other places, there is no story of this. And there is no story of this in the history books. We know this from history, that during the time of history of Jesus, there was the revolt of the Jews in Jerusalem, and it was stopped up by Pilate. And Pilate also killed people in a temple, in the Samaritan temple. Pilate told them to kill all the people who came in there. This gospel tells us, as a story of the acts of Pilate, how we have heard from other history books. The gospel does not tell us who these people were, and does not say what was the motive, why they came to tell Jesus of the news. We can only think of the motive. One motive may have been that through the news, these people tried to trap Jesus. It would have been easy for Jesus to judge the deeds of Pilate and to say that Jesus did wrong things. And Jesus does not say anything of what Pilate had done. If he would have commented that, then he would have been accused that he has stepped against or gone against the judge or the rule of the country and be therefore judged to sentenced to death. Or we can think that one motive, this what the Jerusalems had said, that they were happy more or less for seeing the death. Jesus does not let them be happy for a long time. Jesus speaks of the problems that the Jerusalem people have. The people were able to hear of a news for them that Jesus tells them. It was not the bloody deed of the ruler, but of an accident that God had let happen. Or those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them. Think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? The story of the Tower of Siloam, there is no story in history. It is possibly a tower for the waterway of Siloam. But the key thing is what Jesus wanted to teach with this answer. Why did he say this? Why did he repeat with another story? We can see in Jesus' story three things. Above all, these stories are very rich, as is the Word of God very rich. There are many matters that fulfill a different viewpoint. Jesus rises, puts Jerusalem and Galileans in the same value and not to separate them. That people who live in different places are more sinners. And another thing, the rulers' acts compared to natural act, for the people who died, it was not the same. It doesn't matter where they were in the accident or in the killing of the ruler. The only relevant thing was, were they ready to leave from this world, this life? The third thing, Jesus teaches that whether you die in an accident or in a killing, it is not that the people who died, that they were not more bigger sinners than others. With this sermon, Jesus wants to teach that we go to judge the greatness of other people's sins. Jesus tells us to turn and look at ourselves, that you all will perish if you don't repent. Except ye repent, ye shall perish. In place of evaluating other people's sins, the relevant thing is of our own salvation. How will I be when it is my time to go from this life? And of this salvation, we heard in the introduction, in the letter from Paul, how this salvation is not from us people, it is from God. It is prepared by God for us. The summer services here in Vaasa have been prepared for so that this salvation of God can meet and can reach many people as possible. Dear service guest, if you have not been encouraged to believe yourself, you have not repented yet. The goodness of God and the love of Christ draw you, even this morning, unto repentance. The gospel of the kingdom of God encourages you to look upon the Lord Jesus, who has atoned all of your sins. He that has suffered, died, and resurrected, even for your sake, so that you could receive all your unbelief and your sins forgiven, and to get into eternal life in heaven. The gospel of the kingdom of God encourages you to believe, unbelief, and all your sins forgiven. In the name and blood of your own Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, when you believe this, you can live in God's congregation here upon the earth, and you will see the home in heaven. Dear sisters and brothers, I dare to say this gospel text is not meant only for those who have not repented yet. With this gospel text, it has the important part is a message for us. Jesus turns our view into correct matters. This sin-fallen portion would want us to look at other people's sins, comparing us to others, that we are better than others. When we watch other people's sins, our own watching is forgotten. So easily we see trash or garbage in other people's eyes, and we do not see the mote in our eye. We were reminded of this in the sermon a few days ago. And so easy it is to travel in the footsteps of the Pharisee, and how we thank God that I am not like those others, like those more sinners. We can pray every moment from God that we can first think of the greatness of our own sins, and through this, and then the God's unmeasurable grace for us, we can pray as the Apostle Paul had. He felt that he was the greatest of all sinners. Then when the grace of God opens our eyes of faith to see the greatness of our sins, and through this, it opens a view, perspective, how great God's grace has been for me, then we cannot and we do not have any need to start from the top and to judge others' faith and endeavor. Then, with the power and grace of God from underneath, from the bottom, we can lift up and raise those falling believers, supporting one another. We can travel together towards our own common target, towards heaven, eternal home in heaven. We want to call all those people to this heavenly pathway who are traveling in the other direction. In each one we can see a God's creation, a person saved by Christ, that the Holy Spirit still wants to sanctify to be his own in all our near people, neighbors, whom Christ has suffered and died for. In all our neighbors, we see a dear person. In this most important teaching in this text is our personal faith, is a question of, am I ready to go? Dear brother and sister, the gospel of God's kingdom encourages us this Sunday morning to believe all your sins forgiven. You can believe into your own Savior, unto the Lord Jesus Christ. You can see the King of Zion with the crown of thorns, who has suffered, died, and resurrected for your great sins. From grace and totally free, you can uplift your heart to believe all your sins forgiven. You can believe all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. From grace and free, you can believe unto peace, unto freedom, and unto joy. And one day, when God can protect us as his children, we can arise into that morning when there will be a great summer services in heaven that will not end, There is no sin, no temptations. There is no sorrow, no death. There, God will wipe away all tears, and we receive this of grace and completely free. And therefore, we can remain believing today. Jesus Christ, let him live in our hearts, and let him influence that this grace of God and this forgiveness, this experience of forgiveness, would give us a gracious feeling for others, that we are always ready to forgive one another and to forgive from our hearts. A safe journey towards heaven. All sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And I would like to ask, can I believe my sins forgiven? I want to believe together with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us stand to confess our common faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. And from thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.